The Beach is Leonardo DiCaprio's first starring role since Titanic. The Beach was made by the British team that collaborated on Shallow Grave, Trainspotting, and A Life Less Ordinary. Director Danny Boyle, producer Andrew McDonald, and screenwriter John Hodge. Our film critic John Powers has a review.
4 years ago, the 26-year-old English writer Alex Garland wrote The Beach, a gripping first novel that could be happily read by those actually on a beach. The book was about backpack culture, those swarms of young Westerners who wander around Asia and Africa carrying Lonely Planet guides, bedding down in cheap hotels, and seeking out peak experiences. The Beach became a cult hit, and it was inevitable that it would soon be turned into a movie. But what kind of movie? One faithful to Garland's casually bleak portrait of backpackers seeking paradise? Or a Hollywood spectacle that would try to make it all seem glamorous? Leonardo DiCaprio stars as Richard, an American traveler who comes to Thailand in search of adventure. At a hotel on Khao San Road, he meets the suicidal drug-addled Daffy. That's Robert Carlyle, who gives him a map to a secret island untouched by other tourists, with a perfect beach and endless supplies of dope. Richard sets off for this Eden along with a French couple, the responsible Etienne and the sexy Françoise, who Richard fancies. She's played by the terrific French actress Virginie Ledoyenne. The three eventually make it to the island and discover a small community of travelers led by Sal, the film's most interesting character. Played by Tilda Swinton, she's a tough woman who makes sure that the island runs smoothly. Needless to say, this mini-utopia is not all that it seems. The only way paradise can remain paradise is if you keep other people out. So when Sal sees some party-minded invaders on a nearby island, carrying a map Richard left them but claimed he hadn't, she tears into him.
Is that, or is that not, a map she's holding? And did you, or did you not, make that copy? You know, the lying doesn't bother me. But that map is trouble. The farmers. Right, you remember those men with guns. They said to us, they told us, no more people. And now it looks like we're handing out tour guides.
Sal, I mean, we could explain, right? I mean, we could tell them it was Daffy.
We could explain. I want you up here every day. Until those people come.
Here?
Yes, here. And when they come, I want you to get the map back, okay? Whatever happens, you get the map back.
Wait, Sal. Sal, take a look at this. I mean, they could be there for weeks.
That's right, and you'll be here waiting for them.
What am I supposed to do when they actually get here?
Get the map! You drew it, you handed it out, now you get it back and turn them away!
Garland's original novel was a triumph of unobtrusiveness. It managed to be smart without telegraphing its ideas. For example, how young Westerners treat less developed countries as a kind of theme park. In the book, Richard's a Brit, and he tells his story in a low-key voice so seductively readable that it takes a while to grasp that he's not altogether a reliable narrator or a particularly nice guy. His mind is filled with pop culture fantasies, from Nintendo to Oliver Stone movies. And each time he's asked to guard the community's enclave, he treats this duty as if it were a war game. Garland puts all this across very matter-of-factly. And to keep the backpacker's spirit, the movie should have been made dirty and cheap by skillful indie filmmakers, like the guys who did Pi or the Blair Witch Project. Instead, The Beach has been made by the British team that did Trainspotting. And they inflate everything to Hollywood size. They pump up Richard's narration, so he's constantly announcing the movie's big themes about tourism and paradise. They pump up the design, so that the island community looks like one of those eco-conscious resorts for the rich. They pump up the visual style, so that the camera's always whooshing down waterfalls or rising into the heavens. And they pump up Richard's fondness for pop culture, using digital effects to literally turn Richard's fantasies into a real-life version of a Game Boy. They're so busy pumping up the spectacle, all the air goes out of the story. They don't make us care about Richard or any of the characters, never convince us that the island is any kind of paradise, and can't be bothered to show us the most interesting thing, how the whole place runs. They can't even pull off the love plot that they've added to Garland's story. After pushing Richard and Françoise into each other's arms, They drop her once she's taken off her top. Of course, for most viewers, the beach is primarily a vehicle for DiCaprio, whose boyish prettiness has begun to thicken. It's tempting to blame him, or at least his post-Titanic stardom, for the movie's overblown dullness. After all, you can't have an edgy little film with the world's most famous actor at the center. But the truth is, DiCaprio's not killing the movie. The movie's killing him. You can see him struggling to bring conviction to the role of Richard, but being defeated by the script's flimsiness. To his credit, he does succeed in showing that Richard's not a nice guy. But you have to wonder how the Fox executives felt when they realized they were paying Leo $20 million to play not a dreamboat, but an ugly American.
Joan Powers is film critic for Vogue.